sacrifice my open heart. I offer up my life. I look to you, Lord. Your love that never ends restores me again. So I lift my eyes to you, Lord, and your strength. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, the book of life, and the dead was judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up its dead. Death and Hades gave up their dead. All were judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.
You are. above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. And thought of me above
like to share this morning a message from the book of Revelation. It's been about a year, I think, since we were in the book of Revelation. I really think we ought to read it once a year, at least, and because we don't know that this might be the year that our Lord may return. I believe it's very near. So we're going to look at a certain holiday, which I won't mention, coming up this week, and Fright Night, it's sometimes called. It seems like the frights get worse every year as far as Hollywood, and maybe we have this insatiable desire to be frightened, I guess. I don't know. Can't really understand that. I remember when I was a boy, and that takes a lot of remembering, I used to be afraid of the dark, believe it or not. Me, who am fearless now. Well, actually, I'm not fearless, but I used to look under the bed, you know, make sure no boogeymen were under the bed. And I'd sleep with the light on. I remember that. And anything that, like a scary movie or something on TV, that just really scared me. I think over time we kind of get maybe a little calloused when it comes to fears. And maybe because we're used to dealing with them more as we grow older. So not all frights are good, of course. Some are bad. I think some frights are really the devil wanting to make us fearful and wanting to make us really forget whose we are. Now, we are, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are children of God. And he has promised to take care of us. He's promised to watch over us, to send his angels, in fact, to encamp around about us. Sometimes frights are good. And I want us to look at this kind of frightful chapter here in Revelation chapter 20. I believe that we need to remind ourselves of this, even though I trust you have made your peace with God. And I don't assume that. I think it's a decision that we all must make to receive Jesus Christ into our life as personal Lord and Savior. But perhaps you have not made that decision. And I believe this chapter is especially for you to kind of give you a preview of what your future will be like if you do not make your peace with God. We had a funeral yesterday, Reese Hicks, really a celebration because 106 years lived for the Lord. I'm not sure all those 106 years were lived for the Lord. I believe she would say that she was a sinner saved by grace like all of us. But death is a certainty that we must all prepare for. And that's why the Bible says, prepare to meet your God. And I believe that this chapter is part of that preparation that God would have for us. I want us to take a flight, as it were. Not a real flight, but a flight of in our imaginations, in our God-inspired imagination, because God has given us these words that we might take that flight with John the Apostle, who wrote these words and who saw these things and recorded them for us. And God, of course, oversaw that process. But I want us to take this frightful flight, if you will, into the future. And I'll try not to say that too many times. It's kind of a tongue twister. But a frightful flight into the future. What can we learn from the Apostle John's flight? I want us to look there at the scripture passage and beginning there at verse 10. It talks about the destiny of the one that Jesus called a liar and the father of lies. The one that the scripture says was originally named Lucifer, which means light bearer. It describes how he fell from heaven. He rebelled against God and against his throne. And he took about a third of the angels with him in this rebellion. Angels that we now call demons, of course. And it's that devil then who deceived them. That is, who deceived God's people. Who deceived people, period. But even God's people. I remembered how Peter, that great humble man who humbled himself when Jesus came to him and he said, Lord, I'm a sinner. He fell on his knees and said, Jesus, depart from me, Lord, I think he said, for I am a sinner. I think that's really what defines salvation. We recognize our need of the Lord Jesus, and we recognize that we are a sinner before him and that we need forgiveness. We need to be saved. The devil, even that Peter, after he had said that thing, one time Jesus was talking about his crucifixion, and Peter said, Lord, put that out of your mind. Don't ever think of that again. Don't ever say that again. Don't let that happen to you who are our King. And do you remember what Jesus said? Get thee behind me, Satan. So we have to be very aware of this foe that we face called the devil. We have a frightful foe. I don't want to say frightful in the sense that we should be afraid of him. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ and who have put on the armor of God, according to Ephesians chapter 6. I like what Martin Luther wrote about that. He said, we tremble not for him in that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. He spoke about the devil. One of those stanzas speaks about the devil. Well, we're not to be frightened of him, but I think he is frightful. He's described in Scripture as a serpent and as a breathing fire as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I think we need to have a healthy respect for him, though, even though we should not fear him. I think we should be on our guard, because he is the enemy of our soul. He's the one who slanders us to God and who will try everything in his power to undo what God wants to do and is doing in our life. So remember that. Here we have a frightful foe, and his designation there is the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire. And in the book of Revelation and in other places in Scripture, he's described as the dragon, the great serpent. There is a fearsomeness about that. Some are deathly afraid of snakes. I'm not as afraid as some, apparently, but I wouldn't want to wrap one around my neck. I wouldn't want to put my hand in front of the snake, and a venomous snake, and wave it around, tempting him to strike me. I think a lot of times Christians even do things like that because they don't realize the danger. So remember this about the devil. There is a fearsomeness about him. He is a serpent. He's wily. He's very sly. He's called the devil, which is really a name that means slanderer. So he's slanderous. Satan means adversary. His hatefulness. He's hateful. So all of these things we know about this frightful foe called the devil. It's why Paul wrote that sixth chapter of Ephesians. Why God wanted us to know about the whole armor of God. He said, put it on. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of faith. And feet shod with the gospel. The sword of the Spirit. All of the articles of our armor. We need to put it on. Read that chapter. And you'll realize that we are in a battle. And it's not a physical battle. It's not a battle against flesh and blood, even. It's against the principalities, the Bible says, and powers of this world. The devil, in other words, the devil and his angels. And his angels are not good angels. So there's a frightful foe here. We know about his designation, his deception, and even his damnation. Because here it says, doesn't it, that he will be thrown into the lake of fire, where the beast and false prophet are. Aren't you glad that the devil's not going to follow you into heaven? You don't have to worry about the devil. You don't even have to worry about him in this life. I think focus on Jesus, and Jesus will take care of the devil. I remember when I was here it is again. I remember things way back, but I don't remember what happened yesterday. But I remember how I was a little runt, believe it or not. Still kind of a runt. But I always had a buddy that was bigger than me. And maybe I kind of chose that buddy because I knew I needed somebody like that. So, and maybe they felt, you know, sorry for me. So, well, we have a big buddy, don't we? We have someone who's going to take care of us. We have someone who's going to take care of the devil. So I don't believe we need to spend a lot of time thinking about the devil or worrying about the devil or wondering, is the devil under the bed or in the closet? Well, he's around. But the Lord's going to take care of you. He's your big brother. There's a frightful face also, in addition to a frightful foe, a frightful face. I want to look, and it's not the same kind of fright. I don't want to suggest it's the same kind of fright. I believe the Bible teaches that we are to fear the Lord, that there is to be a wholesome fear. When I did something wrong, I feared my dad. You know, I feared what he might do. And I think it's right that we have that kind of fear. I think the fear of doing wrong, a fear of our government, running afoul of the law, I think can be a good thing. It can keep us from doing things that we still have that old nature. And that old nature will want us to do things that we shouldn't do. So we need these correctives. We need the law. We need the Ten Commandments even to keep us, to help us to know what's the difference between right and wrong. And here is a frightful face, if you will. Let's read the scripture passage there. Just read it in your Bible as I read. John writes, "Then I saw a great white throne, and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them." So here is a frightful face. Now this is the time of the year that we see a lot of frightful faces, trick-or-treaters, and each year it seems to get more gruesome. It used to be the chainsaw massacre face, but we seem to kind of outdo that every year. But here is a face that should strike fear in the hearts of those who have rejected, and will strike fear in the hearts of those who have rejected him. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. God shows this face after his face of grace, his sending of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to show us really what God is like, what his heart is like. The Bible says he is love, and that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there will come a time that God will sit on this throne to judge. And it says, earth and heaven fled from his presence. So fearful was the sight of that face. The place of that face was the great white throne. White, I suppose, would speak of purity. Great, certainly, the supremacy of God, his sovereignty, his right to rule. His throne speaks of judgment. So here's a veritable picture of the just wrath of God. And we need to realize that. God has given us this preview, this flight, if you will, into the future to see what our future may be like if we neglect our soul salvation. So he is the person, God is, and the power of that face. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's in Hebrews 10:31. In his earthly life, Jesus came humbly, one meek and mild. But as he comes to judge the world of unbelievers, the Bible says he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the frightful face there is a face of power. You remember when John began this writing of the book of Revelation, and he told about seeing the glorified Christ, and he said, I fell at his feet as one dead. And if one as righteous and devout as John the Apostle, I think the purest and devoutest of the 12 apostles. He was an elder by this, an old man by this time, and lived, served the Lord and suffered for the Lord. And if one as righteous and devout as John the Apostle fell on his face before the glorified Christ, how much more terrifying will it be for the unrepentant sinner? So there's a frightful foe here, there's a frightful face, and a frightful faith. If we could look at verses 12 and following there. John writes, I saw also the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead. All were judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Here is, if you will, a congregation. It's not a congregation of the justified, of those who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb and have appropriated that offering that Jesus did for us on the cross, shedding His blood in atonement for our sins. No, it is a congregation of the damned. And think about the faces in that crowd, in that lake of fire. Anyone, it says, who is not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And did you notice earlier it said that God would judge them according to their works? These are those apparently who thought, well, you know, I have bad works. I'll put them on this side and God will. And I have some good works. Certainly my good works are more than my bad. But God is going to judge those who think that way according to their works, because that's how they wanted to be judged, and they're going to be found wanting. So there's the congregation of the damned here. And think about the faces in that crowd, famous and infamous and even anonymous, a veritable who's who of history, small and great, it says. And can you picture that in your mind? Maybe you think, there's someone that looks like me. I hope it's not me. Well, you don't have to hope. You don't have to wish. You don't have to wait until that time comes, because the Bible says that if you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, believe in that He has made atonement for your sins on Calvary's cross and accepted that atonement and have invited Jesus to come into your life, just say to Him, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I don't want to get to that hour and not know whether I'm going to be saved or not. I want to know today. And that's why the Bible says these things have I written unto you, who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you now have everlasting life. So make your peace with God today, and you won't be in that congregation. You'll be like John, a spectator. Move, certainly. Move to go out and tell your friends and your family and your neighbors about this wonderful Savior, Jesus. There's, in that frightful faith, there's a congregation. There's a condemnation. The unsaved will be judged according to their works. Many brag about their works today, but if that's where their faith lies, quote unquote, it will testify against them on that day, because the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's a condemnation. This is not a 10-year sentence. It's not even a 100-year sentence. There's not going to be parole if you find yourself in this congregation of the damned. That's why God has written these things, because He loves us. Because the Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a conflagration as well. I have a book on my shelf written by Dwight Pentecost, who he didn't really say dogmatically, but he suggested that there are these places in the universe called a black hole. And even our sun, I mean, if you were to visit our sun, which I wouldn't recommend, but if you could visit there and not be burned up, it would be like a lake of fire. But there are places called black holes where not even light can escape. Nothing can escape. Everything is sucked in. to that small point, but a fiery, fiery death. I think maybe it's why the Bible talks about outer darkness and a lake of fire in the same as the same place. Maybe it is. Maybe God has already prepared a place for this. Of course, traditionally it's down in the bowels of the earth, which it could be too, because we're told the core of the earth is molten like a lake of fire. But one thing we know for certain is that God loves us and that He does not want us to go to this place. That's why He's told us about it. So make your peace with God today. Don't wait. Accept what God has done for you through Jesus Christ with gratitude because He loves you.
Took the fall and thought of me above.